Our attention to the hearing of the word through the reading of the word. I'll read the entire chapter of Exodus 1. It's relatively brief, 22 verses. This is Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. Dear people of God, let us hear his precious word. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. You can follow along if you have another. Hear now his word. Beginning Exodus 1:1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah; Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin; Dan and Naphtali; Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren and all his generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when therefore falls out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other, Puah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, Why have you done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. May the Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Once again, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bless us and prosper your religion sent into our souls from heaven's glorious place through the power of thy grace. We pray in your name. Amen. I have said it before to you that I love all the people of God. I like to especially say on this day, I love all the women in our church, and I mean that in the best way. I love some women better than others, my wife, my daughters sometimes, my granddaughter, and, you know, people that make it a little easier than harder, a little easier to like than others. But I love you all. That's from my heart. That's honest. And as I said, it's in the good way, the best way, not a bad way. I want to commend you all to the Lord in prayer. And that's the way I speak about you when I speak of you most often. I speak about you to God. And I would suggest that you do the same about me and anyone else. As a matter of fact, if you're going to speak about somebody, speak to God about them. And that will keep you from cursing and swearing and speaking gossip and backbiting and ill words and just negativeness. If you're speaking to God, you might do a little bit better in your speech. And you will like and love people a whole lot more, because you'll see your prayers answered in their lives. I also want to say now concerning this passage in Exodus chapter 1, particularly the something about the Hebrew midwives, Sifra and Shifra and Pua. And I want to say that they're recorded here as heroines or heroes of the faith. They're not in Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of heroes of the faith, but they certainly are heroes or heroines of the faith, because they feared God rather than feared men, or especially Pharaoh. And I want to talk about that, because these are these two women, these are the first Hebrew names mentioned since Joseph, 300 years earlier. First names mentioned, Hebrew names. And so it's very special and commendable that they're mentioned here, and what they did against a tyrant, against an all-powerful earthly tyrant that recommended to them some terrible things, which they thankfully disobeyed. Now, there were three phases, if you will, of Pharaoh's plan to destroy the Hebrew people by destroying their offspring, their sons in particular. And as suggested by some commentators, I'm going to name them as my points: phase one, phase two, and phase three. We have three phases here of Pharaoh's plan to stop the Hebrew people from growing into a mighty people in the land. Phase one. The first phase was to conscript hard, harsh labor upon them, right? To, of course, make them work by the whip without being paid. Bricklaying and working in the the quarries there, the stone quarries, building the treasure cities of Pithom and Rhamis. And what they were doing, actually, Calvin talks about this. He comments about it, and he says that whereas they are treasury cities, and they are known for or being storage cities or even storing weapons, they are more fortresses. They were considered to be fortress cities. And so what the Pharaoh was having the Hebrew people do is build their own prison, a fortress city that you could not get in or out of. They were to basically build their own prison house as an insult to the Hebrews and a disgrace to the people. And by doing this and giving them such a hard time and taskmasters that gave them, that treated them wretchedly, they would discourage the people from having babies. That was the plan. They would reduce the Hebrew population after a little while because it would be so fearful to have a son in these conditions. The people were mistreated. The people were whipped. The people weren't paid. They were in poverty. They were building their own prison house. Why have kids? Right? That was phase one of Pharaoh's dastardly plan. Quite the opposite, as we read here in this this first chapter of Exodus, quite the opposite took place. They prospered. The people prospered, not in terms of material wealth, but being fruitful and multiplying and having healthy children. They were more healthy. The children of the Hebrews were more healthy than the children of the Egyptians. One wonders, if only we would obey the Lord and not take it upon ourselves and listen to the culture and the society in which we live having children, we might be better blessed. Certainly, they were. And they were the poorest of the poor. They had nothing but abuse all day long. Certainly not an environment in which to raise a child, no less an entire family. Think about that. Fear God, like Shifra and Pua. First Hebrew names mentioned since Joseph 300 years prior. While in your plans for the future, should the Lord give you a future here on earth. Phase two kicks in. To add insult to injury now, while the hard labor didn't work, they're just flourishing, these people. Fruitful, multiplying all over the place, and healthy, as poor as they are, healthy kids. Well, I'll tell the midwives that when you're helping the Hebrew women give birth, if it's a son, kill him. The Hebrew, don't worry about the girls. The girls we're going to absorb into our culture. We're going to marry the girls. We're going to have the girls grow up into women. They're going to be marrying the Egyptians, you see, and we'll just absorb them. But the boys, kill them. Don't let them live. Well, you know what the Hebrew midwives, Shifra and Pua, did. They did not fear Pharaoh, they feared God. They obeyed God rather than man, or in this case, Pharaoh. Now, there was probably a guild of midwives among which Shifra and Pua were the perhaps the head or in charge of that guild. But they were nothing. They were no ones.
No one ever heard of them, except among the Hebrews, perhaps. They weren't important, except they were midwives. So tell all the other midwives to kill the male children. Put them to death. Again, let the females alone, because they'll be absorbed into the culture. Oh, wow. Imagine that. Not only females are, but males are absorbed into this culture today from the Church of Jesus Christ marrying Canaanite women. Unbelievers. Now I know. We've invented a salvation plan for all these people that we want to marry, right? They're all saved because they've given a witness at some point in their lives. No witness at all, no faithful witness every day of their lives since. So we've invented our own theology and say, well, my boyfriend or my girlfriend, he or she's a Christian. I think so. Sad, but true. I have observed it in the Reformed Church. I don't even have to go out to the evangelical community. I see it in the Reformed community. It's not right. Farrell saw it. He knew. Unbelievers know. You want to beat the church? You want to influence them? Marry them. Pretend. Say you're saved. Whatever. And then draw them out. Draw them out. Same's going on today. Well, one would also think that Shifra and Pua would be opposed to the anthropologists' affirmation, declaration that we need to slow down population growth because we're all going to starve. And they predicted that we would be in poverty and there would be worldwide starvation. Back in the 70s and 80s, they were predicting that stuff. The crazy Gore in the 90s was predicting that. In 10 years, it's over. The planet is doomed. And they're still doing it today. Actually, Gore's of the 80s. Predicting that. I think the Hebrew women here, in particular, and in general, they knew that God saves his people. He's a covenant God. He gives believing children to believing parents. He saves in generations. That's the ordinary way God works in the scriptures from the beginning to the end. I talked about this before. He saves through evangelism and missions works too. That's right. But he saves ordinarily according to the abundant declaration of the scriptures through generations. He says to the women folk and to the men folk in the church today, be fruitful and multiply and fill not only the earth, but fill the pews. Certainly, Shifra and Pua would be opposed to Planned Parenthood. I'm not against parents planning. We shouldn't be against parents planning. There are reasons for parents planning a family, to have a family, to raise children. There's something to that, very important. And I would not counsel any of the parents here how many kids to have or how you should raise them, and just what the scriptures say. You raise them according to the scriptures. But there's all kinds of other decisions that you parents have to make. I encourage Christian school first, homeschool next, combination of the two. Sometimes there's a public school that's good, whatever. But I don't make these commandments. I don't announce these things from the pulpit. I don't tell you must do this by commandment of God. But I'm against Planned Parenthood, which aborts in large numbers children who... I'm against the United States Supreme Court that encourages, under the guise and the perverse understanding of freedom, women's rights to abort. That means a woman is free. I think the Hebrew people, and particularly these midwives, would be against that. Margaret Sanger's Planned Parenthood. Exodus 1, it's not very practical or applicable today, is it? Oh, yes, it is. You see, it's Satan's device from the very beginning to destroy, to diminish the household of faith. Remember Cain killing his brother Abel. Why? To squelch, to squash, to stop the seed of the woman. The line that leads to Christ, to quelch it. That's why Cain killed Abel. He was righteous. Cain was not. We have others too. Esau plotted Jacob's demise. 12 sons of Jacob listed here in Exodus chapter 1. There was Saul who tried to kill David. There's Athaliah who tried to eliminate the royal seed. And of course, we all remember Herod, who tried to kill all the babies 2 years and under to get to the Christ child. It's satanic, brothers and sisters. What we're doing in the United States and in other parts of the world, in Western culture in particular, is, at least as far as this goes, their encouragement to destroy life is satanic. That's what the devil's been trying to do since the very beginning, and it's popular today. What is there in the Western world, generally? Zero population growth, about 0% to 1%, 2% maybe. It's not true in the Arab world or in other places. Where they believe in having as many children as possible. Be fruitful and multiply. Which brings in phase 3 of Pharaoh's plan. Phase 3 was that you are to, if you have a son, you are to take that son, and the midwife was to take that son, the people were to take that son and drown him in the river. And remember Moses' parents, Jochebed and Amram, they had a son. They saw that he was a beautiful boy, beautiful baby boy, and rather than drown him, they let him float down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter raised him up. Well, you know who that was. Moses. Drown the children. If it's a son, drown him. And that was a command that Pharaoh gave to all the people, all the midwives this time. He expanded it. That's the program. It's by edict. It's by commandment of the king to drown these boys. And Moses' parents just wouldn't have it. Now, when you think about all the disincentives that there are out there today to having children, do you think that Shiphrah and Puah and Jochebed would agree with them? Heroines of the faith. Women heroes. Why? Because they feared God and not man. And not the promises and not the predictions and the estimations of men and women, societies, congresses, economists, presidents, even kings. We're not to fear these people. If you're going to do family planning, then you do it, and you do it well, according to the scriptures, not according to economics. My kids, I gave them a bit of advice, my daughters in particular. My son isn't married yet, and who knows if he ever will be. I make fun of him, but that's not right of me to do. Nevertheless, my daughters are concerned with economics. Well, I told them what my wife and I discovered when we were having children, and particularly our first child. You know, we didn't have enough money. I didn't have enough money to pay taxes. I had to opt out of Social Security because I didn't have enough money to pay it. The money we were making. But if I had been making the money that I'm making now then, I still wouldn't have had enough money. You're never going to have women. People, teach your grandchildren, your granddaughters, grandsons too. You're never going to have enough money to have one, no less two or three or four or five. There's never going to be enough. I'm telling you, if you fall into that way of thinking, you're never going to have enough. That's the world's way of thinking. That's not biblical. Look at these people here. They were slaves. They were abused. What's the argument there? There's no money. Why would I bring a child into this culture when we're being abused? They didn't. None of that was the argument. Do you see the Bible standard? Do you see the way the Bible says things, how to do things? Plan, yes, by all means, plan. Take into consideration all kinds of things, but take into consideration, first and foremost, the Word of God. And look at passages like this. There certainly was no environment for children. None. Zero. And the most prosperous nation on earth today is going to discourage having as many children as possible? The richest nation in the world? The most blessed nation in the world when these Hebrews were... Think about it. God's ways are better than man's ways. God's advice. God's counsel. God's way of looking at children from their mother's womb. I have known you from your mother's womb. I was fearfully and wonderfully made while I was yet not born, just conceived. Life. That's what it's about. We're about life, not death, not dying. Not all these other woes and worries. Dear people, there's a great reward in going to the scriptures. And if I may say it this way, earning God's favor rather than man's or my own. The encouragement from these midwives and from the mothers of Israel, or the Hebrew mothers back then, is to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the church. Yes, do your planning, but according to the word of God. And raise up your children, your grandchildren that way. Focus, let's focus on the word, not on the ways of God. And God will richly bless us, not necessarily materially, right? He didn't bless these people materially, although he did give them houses and homes. And eventually they did win their freedom. God will bless us too. May we live according to his way, his word. During the best of times and during the worst of times, all the praise, glory, and honor goes to God alone in Christ alone. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, may we be like these, found to be like these two midwives, Shifra and Pua, who were not fearful of what man might do to them, but feared God. May we be a people, a holy people, a beautiful people, a wonderful people. I fear the Lord and not men and women. And yes, Lord, may we be humble. Through it all, find us humble servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's in closing sing hymn number 35, hymn 35. Thank you.